I hope, my dear people, that you will make an effort, not only in your Lenten resolutions and your Lenten observances, to be faithful. Remind yourselves every Wednesday or whenever you have Mass of the things you've resolved, and examine to see how well you are doing. Besides that, be sure that you keep your Lenten observance very personal, as you should do everything that regards your religion. When I say personal, remember that yours is a very personal relationship with our Lord. The true Catholic lives his life with Jesus. He is very close to him at all times. He thinks of him often, if not as the saints did, always. He is constantly and very naturally talking to our Lord. And he is always either asking for his help or seeking his guidance, asking his strength, or begging for his help in temptation. I had a thought for just a minute. He is constantly offering up what he is doing and telling our Lord that he is doing it. This, of course, you ought to do with regards, or I should say, in the case of your penances. You should tell our Lord that you are doing this or that for him, and you should tell him that you want him to accept it. Let us think of it in the same terms that our Lord gives us in today's Gospel. It says toward the end of the Gospel that after Jesus had spoken, they brought him word that his mother and some of the relatives of the family were outside looking for him. And we would imagine that Jesus' word, since there was an interruption in his speaking, that he would immediately have gone out and spoken to his mother, who obviously had come probably from Nazareth and had not seen him for a few days. He would have imagined, or myself would have imagined, that he would immediately have gone to meet her. But no, he takes the occasion to teach a lesson. And it says, and he responding said to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And extending his hands toward his disciples, he said, "Behold my mother and my brother. Whoever does the will of my Father, my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother." We are talking, of course, about Jesus' emphasis of what it means to be close to him and what it takes to be close to him. He is saying this in a way that really ought to startle us. We know the relationship that Our Lady had with Jesus because she was and is his mother. And yet that biological motherhood, he insists, and he is telling her as well as everyone else, is not the secret of her closeness to him. And it is not the secret of anyone's closeness to him, including his relatives. Rather, if anyone wants to be close to him, it will be the one who does his commandments. The reason why the Virgin Mary was so close, the reason why she was chosen to be his mother, was that she, in a preeminent way, kept the commandments of God, did His will. This was the reason why she was chosen for the tribute. And we understand that those in heaven will be closest, who, like her, did His will most perfectly. The point is, and the point I want to make, is that if you want to be considered close to Him, you have to seek to do His will. Now, this is a further point. We know that when we are speaking of Jesus, we are speaking of God Himself. We do not think of being the brother and the sister of God. It is a familiar thought that we should think of ourselves as the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. Not that we have the same nature, but this is the kind of intimacy He allows us. But let us remember that Jesus is the infinite God of heaven. Jesus is our Creator. Jesus is altogether unlike us in respect to His nature. That is, in respect to His divine nature. And yet, it is God Himself who allows us this intimacy. He allows us to be His children. He allows us the same relationship spiritually that He allows to the Virgin Mother of God, who was immaculate. And this is the secret of our relationship, or I should say, this is how intimate our relationship can be, one totally mysterious, one that we cannot understand fully. And if you want to understand it, you have to live like Mary did in His regard. You have to live totally for Him. The example that she gave was, of course, the example of a mother living her whole life for her son. And yet, even subordinating this relationship to His being her God. I urge you, entreat Him to grant you that intimacy that can derive only from being most good, perfect. Beg Him that He will so purify your intentions, your desires, your aspirations, your sensibilities, that you will, like her, merit to be so close. A man wrote me this week, and I mention this only for the sake of an example. He raised objections against the idea that I put to him in a former letter, and the same ideas in my book on the Mass, that those who attend the new Mass commit mortal sin. And he wrote to me saying that I simply cannot accept that I am in mortal sin for having done something about which I could have known nothing. Yes, the question, where in the world might I have found out that it was a sin to go to the new Mass, other than in your book? And I only recently lay hold of that book. So how could I be accused of being in sin all those years when I had no idea? I'm going to write him something to this effect. His view was a little bit distorted, simply because he is the victim of that lopsided complex which is so often found among Catholics. I refer to it as a sin complex. It is an effort always to avoid sin and to evaluating one's condition in terms of sin. One should rather evaluate his relationship to Christ in terms of love. And we can put it this way. There is not the slightest possibility that the Blessed Virgin Mary would have sat through the new Mass all the way. I mean by that, we can imagine that she would have, had she not had any chance to read about the new Mass, Now we can say any of the great saints. There's no chance that once they began to see this unfold, that they would not have gotten up and left. Not that they would have been able to give a theological analysis of this travesty. Not that someone like, for instance, the little flower, or, say, Saint Isidore the Farmer, or I'm mentioning saints who did not even have a college education, or Saint Benedict, about his last name, Saint Benedict the Frenchman, I'll think of his full name in a moment, the Frenchman who spent all of his grown-up life walking around Europe making pilgrimages, finally ending up in Rome and spending all his time simply going to churches. The reason why these individuals would not have sat through the Mass, as I say, is not because they would have understood the theological meaning of it or the anti-theological meaning of it. It would have been because the Holy Spirit in them would have exercised such an influence over them that instinctively they would have perceived that this is an evil thing. I mustn't be here, and I must depart from it immediately. And that is how they would have escaped that sin. The reason why the saints are so considerate is because they had arrived at such a love of God that they had an instinctive reaction, both toward those things that were good and those things which were not to be expected, that you, if you are a sinner or if you're not a saint, would go through a single day without sin, without having thoughts that should not come to your mind, which you should not allow. Or, let us put it more purely, it is not to be thought that if you are not a saint, that you would be like the saint whose whole mentality, whose constant absorption was in the things of God, even though they were just as down to earth in their activities as we have to be, and their absorption, their constant thought and prayer was the result of the grace of God in them. And what I'm going to tell this man, who I dare say has the best of intentions and who wants to know, and what I mention this whole matter for, is that it is not to be expected that we will not sin. We are the kind of people who do sin, because we love to live. Probably, if you are alert, if you truly strive to know, all your life you will be discovering refinements of your religion. You will be discovering ways in which you are careless or inattentive to your moral life. You will find that you are doing things or have been doing things that are far from the better thing. And you will find that it is true what St. James said, that even the just man sins seven times. The Curé d'Ars wasn't being just pious when he referred to his poor sins when he was known to be a saint throughout Europe. He was still not as perfect as the Blessed Virgin Mary was at the day of her conception. He still did, in ways which we could not even imagine. So crass are we, and so still stolid in our sense of that which is right. We could not imagine the things that he would weep over. And he did not weep as it were, play actingly. He wept because he was aware of things that truly were against God's law. The point is that God is so far above us, so perfect, and his law is so truly stringent, but it is not to be expected without our devoting ourselves constantly to knowing his will and to sacrificing ourselves to know it. to seek out his love, that we would not sin. If any of you has read the story of Blessed Josefa Mendez, you will find that here this saintly woman, who already is having constant visions of our Lord, is constantly being told by Jesus what a miserable little creature she is. Even though she is so holy and so beautiful in her fervor, so faithful in her carrying out her rule of life, our Lord told her that she was just still a miserable little sinner. Not that he did not love her. There is nothing that you can do either to cause Jesus to love you more or to cause him not to love you. He loves you because of what he made you and what he knows you can do. And you must live for him in the shadow and the constant awareness of his love. You cannot shake his love off. You cannot escape it. There's nothing you can do to cause him to love you less. But you should desire to be perfect in order that you might discover this love, that the love that he has for you might be revealed, and in order that you can reciprocate. And this is why you do these things. You pray and you do penance, in order that the Spirit of God might enlighten you to these realities, and also work on your will and on your heart in order that you might live more fully, constantly, more perfectly, in the spirit of the love of your close relative, Jesus, who is God.